We are back in the Congressional Corner today on WAMC. This is Ian Pickus, joined by U.S. Senator Peter Welch, a Vermont Democrat. He's been in that office since 2023 after his long House career. Senator Welch, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So the August recess is behind us. How was your summer?
It was really great. There's nothing better than summer in Vermont.
Any highlights from your, you know, meeting with constituents and other activities?
Well, there's two things. One is Vermont is reeling. We had floods in July of 2023. We had floods in July of 2024. And some folks who were hit in 23 had a repeat hit literally a year to the day in 2024. So a lot of my time was spent getting around the state in meeting with folks who suffered incredible flood damage. So that part was really, really hard. The flooding wasn't as extensive, but where it happened was as severe in 24 as it was a year ago. So we're recovering from that, and we're dealing with the frustrations of FEMA. And that's something that really is affecting folks, not just in Vermont, but all around the country. There's a real bureaucratic tangle that makes it very frustrating for folks whose homes have been wiped out, businesses damaged, and farms and crops compromised. So that's a continuing project that I'm working on with colleagues on both sides of the aisle to get FEMA to be more responsive and efficient.
Yeah, you've been very critical of FEMA. And as you say, this isn't just from this year, but there are still damages from the last time around. What specifically is the issue with FEMA's response as you see it?
Well, I think it's the way it's organized. You know, when you have a damage to a road in Lindenville, Vermont, who's going to best be able to make decisions and execute to get that repaired? It's the folks that live in Linden, and that would be true in Albany. It would be true in every community around the country. And the problem with FEMA is that they centralize the ultimate decision-making. And in fact, the FEMA office that's designated for Vermont is in Puerto Rico.
So right. That's our second region, too.
Yeah. So you're in that region as well. So basically, I believe that the structure has to be much more dependent on local leadership. You've got to mobilize the folks that are in Lindenville or in Albany, where they know the community. They have the responsibility to the community. So the biggest thing that I think we need is to change the authority so that local officials have the ability to decide and execute. They have to have accountability, of course, but the centralization of decision-making and execution can't be hundreds of miles away in a community in Puerto Rico, for instance, rather than in the location, Lindenville, Vermont, or Athens, Vermont, or Ludlow, Vermont, where the actual damage occurred.
So let me zoom out a little bit, because I know we have talked about this many occasions since the first round of flooding. There's a need for resiliency and infrastructure that can be built to withstand an increase in the amount of the kinds of storms you're talking about, which used to be, you know, 100-year storms and are now happening two summers in a row. That seems like a much longer-term project. And we know how hard it was to get the big infrastructure bill done during the Biden years. So is there any progress on that front?
There is progress in that front. In fact, it was that started to change as a result of efforts that Vermont made in 2011 after the tropical storm Irene. That did the most devastating damage we've had in Vermont. And then Governor Shumlin made the argument that we've got to, at that time, it was you just could replace exactly what was there. So if you had a 10-inch culvert, you couldn't then upgrade to a 16-inch culvert, even when it was very clear that the 10-inch culvert would immediately fail in the next storm. So we got FEMA to change that policy, and we're able to do more resilience. It's a money question, But in fact, it is absolutely foolish to rebuild with a system that you know is going to fail very soon. You're saving a lot of money by taking the appropriate steps so that you will be resilient.
What does FEMA say about your idea to have a more localized operation? Because as I said, you know, it's split up into different regions that encompass a bunch of states in each region. So Vermont having its own office, I'm sure, is not their priority.
Well, see, I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel here. You know, in Vermont, for instance, the state is a much more cooperative and nimble partner than a FEMA office in Puerto Rico. So I don't actually blame FEMA for this, because what I've found is, first of all, the FEMA folks who come to Vermont have been great. The administrator, Criswell, has been really terrific. In the immediate aftermath of the storm, they do a good job. But after that, it really is an authorization issue. So I think Congress has to create this structure with legislative authority that allows pushing down to the local level at decision-making authority and execution authority. So, you know, I think this is something, this will be a longer-term project. But in talking to my colleagues, including many Republican colleagues, they see that these decisions just are much better made at the local level. So I think this is a congressional issue where we've got to pass legislation that really gets the authority to the much more local level. And the struggle for us will be to make certain that we incorporate accountability, because you can't have a system where people are going to get ripped off, or the taxpayers are going to get ripped off.
So we have a couple of minutes in today's conversation for me to follow up about another Vermont issue that we have talked about in the past, and that is the postal service to Montpelier, which is, after all, the state's capital, which you've been fighting for. What's the update there?
No good news. It's incredibly frustrating. I mean, two things. Number one, Montpelier is the capital of Vermont, and it's the only capital in any state that basically does not have a post office. And what's so frustrating is that our delegation, working with Bernie Sanders and Becca Ballant, we can't even get a call back from Postmaster General DeJoy. We thought we had some progress because they signed the lease for a new post office several months ago. They don't provide any services there. So you've got to drive like 7 miles outside of the Capitol in order to be able to get a stamp. So it's very, very frustrating. Secondly, the postal service and delivery service throughout Vermont, and again, I've talked to many of my colleagues, and they're experienced the same thing. It's very slow and sporadic. So we've got a big challenge in the postal service to get it back to where it needs to be and to what people are entitled to expect.
Naive question for you, but nobody I talked to on this show likes the job that Louis DeJoy has done. DeJoy was a Trump appointee. Why has he kept the job for the last 4 years?
It's an independent agency, so the Congress doesn't have authority to bring him in, or in the Postal Service is set up as an independent authority. So DeJoy has a term. And he might be jawboned out of the office and encouraged to resign. And I certainly wouldn't object to that. But that's, I think, the main reason.
We've been speaking with Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch on the Congressional Corner. He's a Democrat in office since 2023. And when we come back the next time, we've got a lot more for you, Senator.
Thank you.